God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of these words.
We're grateful.
To us now.
Thank you, Jeff. If you've looked in your bulletin, you'll have noticed that there, the scripture passage is listed as Acts 12, 1-2. Before you get your torches and your pitchforks and march on Kathy's office, that's my mistake, not hers. Caitlin's grandfather passed this last Sunday, and we hurried off to Chatham to be with her family, and I was sending in my sermon details on Tuesday night, and I don't know what came over me, but was not a very mindful spirit, and I put Acts instead of Romans. So, no, we are in Romans 12, just the opening of that chapter. So if you have your Bibles, you can keep that open. We'll flip back and forth to that as we go through. Normally, when I lead a Bible study, prepare a sermon, or any form of teaching, I prefer to go process through a book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's very rare that I ever want to do a topical service. And the reason that I don't like leading a topical sermon or teaching is that I find it's harder for me to set my own agenda aside. However, in preparation for this service today, I've been thinking and praying over the idea and concept of worship for several months now, and all of the passages that I wanted to go through, I kept on being led back to this idea of worship. And so I researched, I went through the scripture, and there's so much scripture on worship and praise. And there's great poems and passages and sermons by our theologians that have gone before us that have written so much content on worship. And I kept on drinking that in as I was in preparation for this service today. And I decided, well, I think I'll try a topical service and we'll see if I get kicked out of the church. So, the concept of worship, these might be shallow questions, but I came to three questions as a result of reading in Romans chapter 12. Now, you'll notice that Jeff read from a different version, and it was spiritual worship. The versions you have in front of you, the ESVs in the pews in front of you might have a different version even yet. But the NIV that I am going to be reading out of today says true and proper worship. And so I had to ask myself these three questions. What is worship? Why do we worship? And how should we worship? And with the time we have available today, I want to work together and answer these questions. You have a bulletin that Kathy has left a wonderful blank spot on the back for sermon notes. If you're a note taker, I'd like you to write down these three questions, and then you can just put a little few points as we work through the scripture, and maybe there might be something that the Lord speaks to you that you can detail there. But we're going to be working through these questions. And the first one, what is worship? Through my time going to youth group, 7 years of youth group, I can remember about five key moments, five key lessons, five key moments where I was corrected and it left a very deep impact in me, a profound impact. And in all of those cases, it's because I made a pretty dramatic mistake and I was corrected, and sternly. My youth pastor, his name is Greg, he was a man full of grace and patience. I seen in his ministry, I witnessed him react to a child putting sugar into his gas tank of his car. I witnessed his response to a student peeing on his pillow at a youth conference. And both of those responses, he responded with love and patience, didn't raise his voice. In fact, the time that he had his pillow urinated on, he said nothing at all. Took the pillow and went and threw it on the campfire, and he said, well, I guess I'm using a towel for a pillow tonight. And profound moments like that is like, what a man of grace and patience, that he didn't react in any way that would harm or bruise a child's experience of youth ministry. But I have five examples where Greg came down and he was stern with me. And one of these was, we'll get the next slide here, Patrick. We were doing a Bible study every other week, every other Wednesday. The high school students would meet in the homes of congregant members, and the purpose for that was to teach us how to be small churches, to start Bible studies and meet in community. So it was grade 11, 12 boys, and Greg was meeting with us, Pastor Greg was meeting with us, and we were going through a sermon a teaching series on worship. And our church's style is we had four worship teams that would rotate once a month. So they would have each one service a month. And the group, the grade